In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God,
who has given thy only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by thy Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of thee, and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on his name, he giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. The epistle lesson for this Sunday, Pentecost, is found recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, and reads as follows. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others, mocking, said, These men are full of new wine. Here endeth the epistle lesson. Let us now sing hymn 229. The gospel lesson for this Sunday is found recorded in the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 14, verses 23 to 31, and reads as follows. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Here endeth the gospel lesson. Let us now confess our Christian faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed, as this is found on page 12 in the front of our hymnals. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Thank you.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is found recorded in the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 7, verses 37 to 39, and reads as follows. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of his word. In the last verse of our text just read, a specific day is referred to, a day on which the Holy Ghost would be given to the disciples in great abundance. And that special day was Pentecost, which we celebrate today. That day was still quite a ways off from the time that Jesus spoke the words of our text. It was well over a year in the future. It would not come until after Jesus had suffered and died and rose again from the dead and ascended into heaven. 10 days after his ascension into heaven is when Pentecost happened. And that was a very special day when many special things happened to the disciples. Cloven tongues like as a fire sat on their heads. They were filled with spiritual wisdom and knowledge. And they were given the ability to speak the word of God in many different languages, languages that they had never before learned. So the people who were in Jerusalem for Pentecost, who grew up in other parts of the world, could hear the wonderful works of God proclaimed in their own native tongue. Though we Christians of today do not look for the Holy Ghost to give us those same special gifts, yet the Spirit of God is still very much active in his Christian church today through his word and sacrament, the means of grace through which he creates, strengthens, and preserves saving faith in the hearts of his believing children. So on this Pentecost Sunday, let us remember and ponder in our hearts the wonderful works that are especially ascribed to the third person of the Trinity, and thus meditate upon the work of the Holy Ghost for the salvation of penitent sinners. On the basis of our text, we shall first observe how Jesus invites penitent sinners to come unto him. And secondly, how the Holy Ghost satisfies the spiritual thirst of the penitent with the gospel of grace. Now may God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of his word in your hearts and in your lives. In the verses that come just before our text, we see Jesus speaking some harsh words of the law to those who were impenitent, those who were not sorry for their sins, telling them that they would not enter into heaven. Jesus would go to heaven, but they would not be able to follow him. We read in verse 34, this is what Jesus told the impenitent. He said, "Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come." What a dreadful sentence of condemnation was there pronounced upon those who reject the gospel of God's grace. There will be no entrance into heaven for them. When Jesus opens the door of heaven for the penitent, no human enemy can shut it against us. But when he closes the door of heaven to the impenitent, no one can force it open, no matter how hard they try. Thus Jesus describes himself in in the book of Revelation as he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. But in the verses selected as our text for this morning, we do not see Jesus threatening punishment and damnation upon the penitent. Instead, we see him extending an offer of grace, the invitation of the gospel to those who are penitent, to those who feel the great weight of their sins, who are deeply grieved because of their sins. We read, "In the last day, that great day of the feast," this is the Feast of Tabernacles, as you see in verse 2 from this chapter, "Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." The spiritual thirst that Jesus here refers to is the thirst, the longing for forgiveness, peace with God. When a person feels the great weight of his sins and is scared about the judgment to come, what he knows he deserves from God because of his sins, he feels this longing, this thirst for forgiveness and peace. And that thirst cannot be satisfied by anything that a human can do for himself. He may try to work himself into God's favor by doing extra good deeds. But if he is accurate in the evaluation of his progress, he will have to admit that he still sins day after day. No matter how hard he tries, he still adds more sin on top of sin every day. Only the gospel, the living water of God's grace, can satisfy that spiritual thirst. In the gospel, we learn that Jesus did everything necessary to reconcile us with God, that no works on our part are even needed to receive his grace. But it should be well understood that that promise of the gospel, the offer of this living water, should never be offered to someone who is impenitent, someone who has no spiritual thirst. Notice that Jesus does not, in our text, extend the offer of this living water to those who are not thirsty. He says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." So first, the spiritual thirst needs to be created. And what creates it in the heart of a person is God's law. God's holy law, working as a mirror, impresses upon man the gravity of his sinful condition. Shows him that if left to himself, he will only go to hell. And that's what creates the proper spiritual thirst that is required first before that living water of the gospel can even be offered to him. And it is crucial for people to hear the law, because even though most people will acknowledge that they're not perfect, they still at the same time tend to regard themselves as being pretty good people. So that thirst really isn't there until the law of God has made a deep impact on the heart. Yes, those who believe of themselves as being basically good and decent people still need to be humbled by the law of God. They need to have that thirst created in their heart. And the law does that very effectively. The law of God makes it clear that even one brief sinful thought renders man completely guilty before God and deserving of damnation. It does not matter how many quote-unquote nice things a person might do in his life. He still falls short of the glory of God. He still deserves nothing but God's wrath and punishment. In Romans chapter 3, we read, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And in Galatians chapter 3, we read, if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin. After the law has done its work of creating that spiritual thirst, the terrors of conscience, then the gospel of God's grace, which Christ provides, is the ultimate thirst-quenching spiritual water that comforts and cheers the heart with the assurance that if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he's the propitiation, the sacrifice that appeases God's wrath for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Indeed, all fear of God's wrath on account of sin is completely taken away by the gospel's message of love for us in Christ Jesus, who alone could establish peace between God and sinful mankind. For by his perfect life, Jesus kept all of God's commandments as our substitute. And by his suffering and death on the cross, he satisfied divine justice, suffering the punishment we deserve by our sins in our place. So every sinner on earth has been redeemed. Jesus lived, suffered, and died to pay for the sins of the whole world. The impenitent, sadly, despise that gospel message. Again, they despise the offer of spiritual water because they feel no thirst. But Jesus invites you and me and every penitent, sorrowful sinner to come to him, saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. By faith in Jesus' work of redemption, faith worked in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, we receive all that the gospel offers. We receive the forgiveness of sins, and thus we drink in that living water, and that gives us peace with God. St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we drink of the spiritual water when we put our trust and faith in the Lord Jesus. And that spiritual water not only fills our heart with comfort and joy, but it also flows out of our heart in works and deeds of Christian love, love toward God and toward our neighbor. The way that the living water also flows out from us is described by Jesus in the next verse, where he says, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. It's like rivers of living water flowing out from the Christian heart. A Christian will produce evidence of the invisible faith in words and deeds of love. On another occasion, Jesus said, a good man, out of the good treasure of the heart, bringeth forth good things. Works of Christian love are a necessary byproduct of the saving Christian faith. And all of this provides evidence of the work of the Holy Ghost within us. The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, brought us to saving faith. He also sanctified us in the true faith. He gave us a new man so that we're able to be fruitful in good works. So that now, as Paul says to the Ephesians, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. When the living water of the gospel flows out from us, one of the ways it does that is by us spreading the gospel of salvation to others, and thus bringing to them, too, the sanctifying power of the Spirit through that living water. These blessings result from the work of the Holy Ghost. They're all included in sanctification in the wider sense. Because the work of the Holy Ghost is especially remembered and thought of on Pentecost, because on Pentecost the Holy Ghost was especially active in the apostles, this very thing is referenced in the last verse of our text, where we read, "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given," meaning on Pentecost, "because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Again, it wasn't until after Jesus had been glorified and ascended into heaven that he gave the Holy Ghost in rich abundance to the disciples on Pentecost. Now, that does not mean that the Holy Ghost was only working on the hearts of men on that one day of Pentecost. No, long before that special day came, in the Old Testament, all of the believers were brought to faith through the work of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So every Old Testament believer who trusted in the promised Messiah and was taken to heaven had the work of the Holy Ghost within their hearts. As it is with us today, you and I and all true believers have the work of the Holy Ghost within us. But here in our text, we are reminded about how the Holy Ghost was given in a special way to the disciples on that one day of Pentecost. That, as we heard in our epistle lesson for today, is recorded in Acts chapter 2. And in that chapter, as well as the following chapters in the book of Acts, we see the Holy Ghost continue to be very active in bringing many, many people to faith. As was also mentioned in last week's sermon, more people were brought into the Christian faith through the preaching of the apostles than were brought into the Christian faith even during the earthly ministry of Christ. But even still, back then, as now today, the vast majority of people in the world still despise and reject the living gospel, or the living water of the gospel. So they despise and throw away their forgiveness and salvation. We would do the same thing too, if left to ourselves in our natural condition as spiritually blind and dead enemies of God. But thankfully, the Holy Ghost did not leave us in that natural condition, but through the power of the gospel brought us to saving faith, so that we receive the gospel cheerfully with grateful hearts. It is also through means of the gospel that the Holy Ghost continues to preserve us in the faith and strengthen us therein. So we should be very eager to make good use of God's word for our spiritual strengthening on Sundays in church, but also throughout the week in our own homes. We should never grow to despise or think little of the blessing that God provides for us in his word, but really grow in our appreciation for it. And thank God for all the blessings that attend our saving faith, which is ours through the work of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. Amen. Let us rise to pray. O Lord God, Holy Ghost, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, and with them art the one true, living, eternal God, the earnest and pledge of our inheritance, the Spirit of life and truth and grace, by whom all that mourn are comforted, and who alone art able to lead us into all truth. We worship and glorify thee, and give thee thanks for all thy marvelous gifts and graces, and especially for still shedding abroad thy power in the church through thy word and sacraments, and performing thy work within us. As we cannot by our own reason or strength believe in our Lord Jesus Christ or come to him, we beseech thee, enlighten us with thy gifts. Enable us rightly to understand thy word of truth and to perceive both the magnitude of our transgressions and the multitudes of thy mercies. Engrave Jesus Christ in our hearts, and bestow upon us peace of conscience and everlasting comfort. Bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Confirm us with thy testimony and seal us by thy promise, that even as the earth is refreshed by the dew of heaven, so also our souls, being redeemed from the spirit of fear and bondage, may be satisfied with thy heavenly consolations. Shower upon our congregation thy rich blessings, to the end that we may earnestly seek the lost, raise the fallen, comfort the brokenhearted, and help the afflicted. Raise up true pastors who will proclaim the pure teachings of thy word with courage and boldness. And to this end, bless our seminary, that men may be trained for future pastoral offices in our conference for many years to come. We beseech thy blessing upon Pastor Leitz, that he may be strengthened in body, mind, and spirit, and that he may, if it be thy will, be able to continue serving thee and his congregation in the office of the ministry. Likewise, bless our brethren in Nigeria and Russia, comforting them in all their trials with joy unspeakable, and centering their hearts and minds on the boundless riches of thy grace in Christ Jesus. O thou Holy Spirit, dwell in our homes and lead every child who bears thy name into the paths of love and obedience, and endow every mother and father with an understanding heart and gentle ways, so that together the family may adorn the true Christian faith with godliness and honor. And through thy word, dear Holy Spirit, grant us thy continual aid. Help us to increase in all knowledge, faith, charity, purity, and truth, and at last receive us into the joys of everlasting bliss through faith in our Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we furthermore pray. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
God of all peace and consolation, who didst send the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost to establish the Church as the home of thy continual presence and power among men, mercifully grant unto us, we beseech thee, this same gift of thy Spirit, to renew, enlighten, refresh, and sanctify us, to be over us and around us like the light and dew of heaven, and to be in us evermore as a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be honor and glory, world without end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. We shall now sing verse 7 of hymn 233. Just to make the following announcements, following the worship service this morning, we'll be having our regular monthly voters meeting for June, and all of the voters are encouraged to attend that and participate together in the work of the congregation. Lord willing, next Sunday we'll be having the Lord's Supper, and that's a make-up for missing it last Sunday. By then I should definitely be over everything. Well, at least the sinus infection part of it. Finish up with my antibiotics Tuesday, so should definitely be good to go for next Sunday. May God's rich grace be and abide with you all.